The destruction of roads and other infrastructure hampered aid workers' initial efforts to distribute food, water, first aid, and medicine. Still, disaster experts say that's the easy part. The greater challenge is keeping people healthy in coming months and years. NPR's Joanne Soberner has been following a consultant to the World Health Organization as he studies this situation.
Claude Deville de Goyette looks tired. Since the WHO asked him to come to Asia on Sunday to help with tsunami relief, he's flown 11,000 miles and worked 18-hour days. Now he's in a van headed to the WHO office in Jakarta to get a sense of what's happening here.
This morning, we have to get much clearer ideas of what type of human resources are needed. And not for the next week, but for the next 4, 5, 6 months.
Deville arrives at the WHO offices and disappears into a series of meetings. During a break, he says he's getting a sense that there are more aid workers in Asia than there are jobs for them to do. One of the problems is that so many non-governmental organizations feel they have to have a presence here. Some of the ones that have flown in will fly out in a couple of weeks. Deville calls them cowboy NGOs. He remembers in Africa when the groups came in to provide health care. They started giving people tuberculosis medicine that needs to be taken for a year. Then after a few months, they left. Treatment stopped, so the people weren't cured, and some developed drug-resistant TB that could spread to others.
If you can't do things for a minimum period, you better not start doing anything.
Deville says short-term, high-level medical care can do more harm than good.
You come with a lot of money, then you withdraw. The local staff, which has been marginalized and lost some credibility because you are overwhelming the level of technology, has to pick up the pieces.
Suddenly, people no longer trust their own health workers. Deville was head of disaster relief at the Pan American Health Organization for 25 years, supervising relief efforts after volcanoes and floods and earthquakes in Latin America and the Caribbean. He saw a pattern in how governments and NGOs provided funds.
You get too much too soon and too little too late.
Earlier this week in Jakarta, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan promised that this time the money will be spread out over the long term. Deville isn't so sure donors will go along.
The developed countries and the Western world will really be capable to maintain a steady flow of assistance for 1 or 2 years. I never seen it anywhere.
Some countries require their disaster aid to be spent within 6 months, but hospitals and decent sanitation systems can take a year or more to establish. There's another problem. Sometimes promised money doesn't come at all. Deville says in previous disasters, donors came through with only half the cash they said they would. Deville says now is the time to look beyond temporary solutions. Take, for instance, supplying clean water.
If you, instead of investing, let's say, in sending 50 water trucks, if you can invest in new wells, you have to put some priority in the activity which will leave a permanent benefit.
After his last meeting of the day, Deville looks even more exhausted. In addition to the meetings, he's looked at hundreds of emails and had to figure out what to do with 6 people from the Centers for Disease Control who showed up unexpectedly. But tired as he is, he's still determined to see that relief money goes to hospitals and sanitation systems that can be maintained by local people over the long run, even in the hardest-hit area, Aceh.
You have an opportunity in Aceh after the tsunami to start from scratch and to do a better job.
Deville is headed to Aceh to see if that can be done. Joanne Soberner, NPR News, Jakarta.